Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 20, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. Amen means so be it. So when God says yes, so be it. Amen, so be it. Okay, this is what's going to happen. The promises of God are what's going to happen. All of the promises of God are yes. All of the promises are going to happen. God is extremely confident in the promises of God. He gave them. He knows He's God. He knows His ability. He knows what He's doing. We, on the other hand, are not always as confident in the promises of God as God is. We can be, but we're not. And the reason that we're not is because we look at God's promises from a human viewpoint, from a human perspective. We say to ourselves, okay, I have a promise from the Bible that says whatever. I will answer your prayers, God says, okay? Ask and you shall receive. Matthew 7:7. Ask and you shall receive. Alright, so I asked and now I have an expectation that I'm going to receive. Or a better one than that even, because it involves the body of Christ, is where two are agreed, it'll be done for them. That's a similar principle, except a little more powerful. When two people are agreed about the same thing, then it will be done. You have a prayer partner, and the two of you ask for something from God, you have all the right in the world to expect that it'll be done, that it'll come to pass. He didn't say it'll come to pass tomorrow. He didn't say it'll come to pass on your schedule. But it will come to pass. It'll come to pass on God's schedule. The problem that we have is that we look at the promises of God from a human perspective. We look at them as being in the future, and we're uncertain because we can't see the future. And so we try to evaluate the future on the basis of the present or the past. We try to evaluate the future on the basis of what things look like now. Well, I think it's likely, depending on how things are now, but tomorrow something changes, and then tomorrow I say, well, I'm not so sure that it's so likely, depending on what it looks like now. That is the wrong approach to the promises of God. Never get stuck in that trap. Human viewpoint is not useful for the things of God. We're on earth in a very limited space. God is eternal. He's everywhere. He is in heaven, and he is also everywhere else that exists. He's not limited. Now, God being everywhere necessarily means that He is also everywhere in time. Einstein showed us that space and time are the same thing. They're two parts of one phenomenon. You cannot have space without time. You cannot have time without space. So space and time are two parts of one thing. They're dependent on each other. You can't have one without the other. And so God is looking from this perspective, where He is absolutely everywhere, all points of the universe, all points on earth, and He knows the thoughts of every person. He is absolutely everywhere, but He's also everywhere in time. Now, sometimes we look at the promises of God and we say to ourselves, is this really true? And this will happen often when people have to wait. People don't like to wait. I'll tell you right now, God is not running a fast food joint. He is not a manager of McDonald's or Burger King. God is not worried about our time concepts. Why? Because He's everywhere in time. We worry about Him because we're at this point in time and we look to another point in time and say, is this when it's going to happen? And once we reach that point in time, if it hasn't happened, we say, well, how about this other point in time? Will it happen then? And once we reach that point, if it hasn't happened, then we say, well, I'm not sure I believe that it's going to happen. You're not relying on the promises of God, and you're not looking at things correctly if this is you. This is very normal. A lot of Christians do this. It's very normal. It's also wrong. You don't want to do that because it'll confuse you and it'll get you to doubt things that are absolute. The promises of God are yea and amen. That means they are absolute. You cannot get rid of the promises of God because they come from God. They are absolute. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. God's not going to tell you something and have it not be true. God is not a man. He is not a human being. He is God. He created human beings. He's much greater than a human being. God is not a human. God is God. God is not a man so that he should lie. God cannot lie. Why? Because he's the truth. The truth is defined by him. And so it's not possible for God to lie, because whatever he does, whatever he is, whatever he thinks, whatever he says, by definition, it's truth, it's reality. Everything that comes from God is reality. And so if God says it, if God does it, if God thinks it, if God purposes it, it's reality. He is truth. He's not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of a man that he should change his mind. He can't change his mind because he is truth. He is reality. God doesn't change reality. He changes his mind from our perspective sometimes. And that's really because he's trying to achieve something, but his mind hasn't really changed from his purposes. Let me give you an example. When Moses was leading Israel, Israel was rebelling against God. And God got fed up with Israel. He said, I'm going to destroy Israel. And Moses, all of the promises that I gave to Abraham are going to go to you. And I'm going to fulfill those promises through you. I'm going to make that nation out of you. I was originally going to make them out of all these people, because they're the children of Abraham, but you're a child of Abraham also, Moses. I can still fulfill my promise to Abraham and have it really come just only through you. And then Moses pleaded with God. And he said, God, don't destroy them. He said, God, what are your enemies going to say? Because the people of Israel had a lot of enemies in that area. And they were the enemies of Israel because they were the enemies of God. And Israel was the chosen nation of God, so they hated Israel. That's still true today, by the way. So Moses said to him, well, what are the enemies going to say? They're going to say, look, God does not fight for Israel. God is not going to stand up for his people. God is not going to do what he said for his people. God is not going to come through. And then you'll have no testimony, you'll have no witness to those people, because if any of them see what you're doing for Israel, like Rahab the harlot, when the spies came in and she said, hey, we saw what you did for Israel, and it was a huge testimony to the glory of God among the unbelieving nations. Well, Moses realized this would be the case, and he said, God, those nations are going to say, you're not real. You don't fight for Israel. You're not going to do what you said you do for Israel. And God said, okay, I will not do that after all. Did he change his mind? God knew all along what he was going to do. He wants us involved in things like prayer. He wants us involved in things like even talking to God to get him to do something that we think he's not going to do. He lets us think one thing when in truth, he's simply letting us think that to give us a direction. Sometimes I don't have the capacity to receive what God has. And so God takes me in a direction in what capacity I do have. And somebody might say, he was deceiving Moses. No, he wasn't deceiving Moses. He was dealing with Moses' capacity with a purpose that was greater than Moses, that Moses didn't necessarily understand. He did understand this, God could do what he said he would. But Moses' prayer caused God to not do it. Now, God knew all along that would be the case, but Moses didn't. God was showing Moses the power of his relationship to him. God does that with us. Now, sometimes when we see things and they're not happening, or we're not understanding, if you don't understand something God is doing, it's not that God is making a mistake or doing something wrong, it's that you don't understand. I remember years ago I preached a message on the Bema Seat, and a guy not in our church heard about the message. He actually heard it in a recording. He said, well, I've never heard of the Bema Seat. I'm not sure it actually exists. Honestly, if you don't understand, if you haven't heard of it, you don't know that it exists, you are God? Okay, so you didn't know that it exists. You learned something. But you know, people are like that. If I don't understand it, it must not be real. If I don't know about it, doctors are like that sometimes, and that's scary. If I can't see it, it must not be real. You want a different doctor in that case. But that's how it is with God. God is not a man. He's not going to lie. He's not going to change his mind. Then he says, have I said it? And shall I not do it? In that question, it's kind of like, this is ridiculous. Did I say it and I'm not going to do it? Of course I'm going to do it. Don't be ridiculous. Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? That's ridiculous. If he has spoken, of course he's going to make it good. Don't be ridiculous. That's what he's talking about, but we don't always get it. Now, here's the thing about that, and this is why we can be confident with what God says. We can be as confident as God is in the things that he says. In Isaiah 46:10, he declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, and I will do all I have purposed. What I said will happen, and my purpose will come about. That's what he's saying there. He tells us the end from the beginning. If there's a beginning, God says, this is how it's going to end. Now, we can't see that, but God can see it. Why? Because in Romans 4:17, he calls those things that are not as though they were. Why does he do that? Well, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, in order for us to grasp this, we have to have eternity in our hearts, in our frame of reference. God will put an eternal perspective in our frame of reference, and he does that through the Word of God. That is an absolute certainty. In Genesis 1:1, God says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Heavens is plural. That means more than one heaven. It's not talking about God's heaven. There are three heavens. There is heaven, the atmosphere, that's often called heaven, just the air. What's in the air, around the earth, that is the first heaven. The second heaven is the rest of the universe. The third heaven is where the souls go when Christians die. The house of God. That land called heaven that we look forward to. That's the third heaven. God created the heavens and the earth, plural. That means that God created the universe, the vastness out there, and then he put the earth in it. Now, space and time are the same thing. When God created the vastness, the space that is the universe, God also created every point in time. When he created every point in time, that's not the same in quality like we understand space. It's not empty. Time, by its nature, is populated with events. Now, there may have been a few moments of time when there was nothing out there when God first created it. But when He created time, He created all of time, not just those few moments. And so He created time when everything was happening. He created our time. He created our future, our past. He created the time that's coming yet. The millennial reign is already a done deal. It's already out there. Einstein showed us that every point of time still exists somewhere in the universe. Now, scientists are finding this. When a scientist finds, for example, and this is a true event, that 10 billion light years away, there is a galaxy in a part of which there's stars still being formed. But the Bible tells us that all the stars were formed on the fourth day. How can it be formed today? Was that real? Was He telling us the truth? Yes, He was. But in that part of the universe, that's the fourth day. We're not looking back in time. The fourth day is now. And that's where it's located. That's what Einstein showed us. The fourth day is now, and it's located in that space in the universe where the stars are still being formed. So it's not that we're looking back in time, we're looking literally at the fourth day as it is right now. It exists right now. Einstein showed us that every moment of time exists right now, past, present, and future. Now, God is everywhere, and He created it. When God gives a promise in the future, to us it's the future, to God it's now. God thinks of the future very differently than we do. He doesn't think of it as the future. We think of it as the future. God doesn't see things in terms of past, present, and future. It all exists right now. It's like that example I like to use. I think it's a very good example for this. God sees time in the same way, as an analogy, as we would see a very large table. You go into some fancy building, some palace or something, and they have these enormous dinner tables, dining tables. And they can seat 50 people, 100 people easily, right? But you know, you can see the front and the back of the table. You can see every part of the table all at once. If you put out a big spread, the servants of whoever owns that palace, they put out this big spread for a fancy dinner, and everything is on that table, and it's all over the table. It's on the left side of the table, it's on the right side of the table, it's on between the table, it's all over the place. The table is full of things for the dinner. Now, in our perspective, we'd be like that little ant that's going across the table. It starts at the left, goes to the right, let's say. And it's on the left side of the table. To that ant's experience, everything is not on the table. Only what it encounters is on the table. So it goes on the table and it encounters a fork. And all that exists right then is the fork. The rest of the table, soup, whatever, dinner, roast beef, filet mignon, whatever, lobster for those people who like that. It's all on there. But to that ant, the only thing that exists is that fork. And then it keeps moving and keeps moving and keeps moving, and then it encounters a cup. And it keeps moving and keeps moving and keeps moving, and then it encounters the mashed potatoes. Now it's a little happier. And it keeps moving and keeps moving, and that's when it gets to the whatever, sirloin. You see, that ant experiences that table differently than somebody who's sitting at the table. That ant thinks one thing is happening at a time, but it's all there, all at once. It just can't experience it all at once. That's like us and God. God can see all points of time simultaneously. So to him, the promises of God are not future. To him, they're present. They're right there. God can point to the place in time, or if you will, on the table, where the promises of God are put. This is it. It's right here. You're saying it's not there. I can show you. It's right here. But the little ant hasn't gotten there yet. But he will. That's how the promises of God work. You can trust the promises of God because the works were finished from the foundation of the world in Hebrews chapter 4. Everything that God established was present when God created the earth, including you. Somewhere out there, the earth is still being formed. It didn't take long, but that moment still exists. The day will come at the end of the millennial reign when heaven and earth will pass away and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. That already exists. When John the Apostle in the book of Revelation saw what is our future, he was looking at it a little over 1900 years ago. But it's still in our future. John talked about it as it was happening in the present. Why? Because God took him to a place where he could see it as it was happening. It is happening now. The millennial reign, Jesus on the throne, is happening now. The rapture, even though in our experience we haven't reached it yet, it's actually happening now somewhere. That point of time exists. The tribulation, though the world has not gotten there yet, it exists now. The cross is still happening. Somewhere out there, the cross exists. Jesus on the cross exists. He only stayed there a few hours, but it exists. Adam and Eve in the garden, they still exist. Not in our frame of reference, but in God's frame of reference, because God can see all points of time. You cannot see your house from here. That's how small our perspective is. And it's in the same state. But you can't see it from your perspective. Our perspective is too small. Does it mean that your house is not there? Of course not. Your house is there. But you can't see it. But it's there. Once you get to your house later today, you'll see your house. That's how the promises of God work. Once you get to that place, then you'll see it. But it doesn't mean that that place doesn't exist. It does, and it exists right now. You're just not there, but you're heading there. And when God gives you a specific promise, he's actually saying, this is what is in the path that you're on, and you're heading for it. Well, we have GPS to do the same thing for us as far as physical places that we go to. Maps do the same thing for us. You're here, what you're looking for is here, this is how you get there, this is the path. God says, you're on the right path, like the GPS. This is the best path, okay? This is the best route. Yesterday I had that happen. There was a big backup on the highway. But the GPS told me, you're still on the best route. Big backup, but you're still on the best route. You're on that route. And God can see you, and he sees the outcome, and he sees that that promise is right ahead of you. He put it there. He says, this is not what's going to happen. That's only from your perspective. He's saying, this is what's in your path. It's not that it's going to happen. It's there and you're heading for it. So all of the promises of God are absolutely reliable. We can have God's confidence in the promises of God because we can understand, even in our natural thinking, even in our little tiny frame of reference, we can understand that it's already in place and I simply haven't gotten there yet. I just have to keep going and I'll get there. Everything God says, your call, the promises for your life, all the provisions for your life, whether they're relationships or jobs or special promises, miracles that God will do for you, whatever it is, prayers that are answered, they're all in place now. They're all in place now, and you can be absolutely confident because they exist. God can see them if you can't. You know, it's kind of interesting. Have you ever seen the earth from really high up? And it seems like really high up to us, but it's not actually all that high. Like the space shuttle is out there about 250 miles above the earth. 250 miles, you can drive that in a few hours. It's not that far. I've driven 250 miles many a time. And I didn't even have to get a second tank of gas to do it. Well, you know, you're up there 250 miles and all of a sudden you can see Los Angeles and New York at the same time. You can see Paris and wherever else at the same time. You can see Nigeria and France at the same time. Why is that? They're so far apart. Your frame of reference is different. You get a frame of reference that's a little bit bigger, and all of a sudden you can see a lot more. But when that space shuttle lands, then they're right back where we are, the astronauts from the space shuttle who could see Los Angeles and New York at the same time, all of a sudden they can't see their house. The frame of reference has changed. Don't let your frame of reference start to become a source of doubt. People do that sometimes and it's a mistake. Your frame of reference doesn't determine anything. The fact that your house is there right now doesn't change with the fact that you can't see it right now. All of the promises of God are in place. Everything that God has said is in place. Everything God has done, and that may even be in your future, for you is in place. Things like husbands, wives, children, jobs, whatever relationship, everything you can think of, answered prayer, people need a miracle from God, it's already in place. You're just not there yet. Physically, you're not there yet. But you will be. So be confident in it. Don't ever let that be undermined by the devil. He wants to say to you, God's not going to do it. It's like saying to you, turn around, there is no tree behind you. And then there's huge oak tree behind you. The devil says, turn around, there's no tree behind you. Don't look at the tree, it's not behind you. Of course it is. Well, it's like that with the promises of God. The devil will say to you, God's not going to fulfill his promises. And God said, what are you talking about? Did I say it and I'm not going to do it? Is that what are you, ridiculous? You're joking, right? Is that ridiculous? Why? Because it's real, so be confident in it. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.